It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to FinancialSurvivalNetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and it's June 26th, 2017. Did you know that the Chinese were planning to purchase the only rare earths mineral mine in the United States? Yeah, it's about to happen. Should the government stop it? That's what we'd like to know. Jeff Ferry is with us now. Jeff, you're research director of Coalition for a Prosperous America. And we talked to you before, as well as a number of your associates. And thank you for coming back on.
Thank you for having me, Kerry. It's a pleasure to be here.
Okay, so company is in bankruptcy. Chinese are trying to buy the assets out of the bankruptcy court. And are rare earth minerals a national security issue?
They most definitely are a national security issue. And, you know, there's a history to this mine and to this industry. Rare earths are absolutely critical for national security and for consumer electronics because these minerals are used in very small quantities in a number of critical devices or subsystems or components, you could call them, whether including things like electric motors and display screens on smartphones. So they go into literally hundreds or maybe thousands of types of devices that we all have around our home, office, and factory, and the defense establishment uses inside all the classic defense equipment, whether we're talking tanks or planes or other vehicles. Mm-hmm. There are components and systems in there that need these rare earth minerals.
Right. So they are important, but they're not really that rare, are they?
Yeah, rare is a bit of a misnomer. They're I'm no expert on mining, but what I do know is that these minerals are found in many places in the world, but they're only mined in relatively few because it's a difficult, dirty, and expensive process to get them out of the ground. And today we're in a situation where 90% of the world's rare earths are being mined in China, including parts of what used to be Mongolia, and they are exporting it to the rest of the world. But, you know, and there's about a dozen different minerals that are all called rare earths, or different dozen different elements found in rare earth minerals. And they mostly come from China. And China has demonstrated time and again that it thinks this is an important economic advantage. And it's actually put quotas on exports back in 2009 and caused a lot of pain to electronics companies around the world with those quotas.
Well, but when they did the quotas, it turned out it did drive the price up higher, but these are not major price components of most products. But what it did was it drove up smuggling out of China of rare earth minerals, and supply went down a little bit when they first imposed these restrictions, but then there was more supply than ever. But I share your concern here. It's a viable industry. Why shouldn't the U.S. be involved in it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the price impact may not be great, but it's strategically very important because you can't build certain kinds of products, particularly electric motors, without these rare earths. And if you're building a complicated supply chain, whether that's, you know, for the display unit in a fighter jet or for the smartphone you and I use every day, you need to have a supply chain which lets you go to sleep at night, which means you've got typically a supplier wants more than one source for every single element in this complex product. And right now, most people are totally dependent on China for rare earths. Now, at one point back in the 1990s, the U.S. had a thriving rare earth mine That original one was actually sold to a Chinese company. And what China did was they shut down the facility in the U.S., took all the technology and reopened it in China. You know, they have a, you know, there's nothing secret here in a sense. China is very explicit about its policy of being self-sufficient in many, many minerals and production processes. And that's why they emphasize so much building factories in China and exporting to the rest of the world. Now, we need to take an intelligent view and say, can we afford to depend on China for this vital set of minerals? And I think the answer is no. We've got this perfectly viable mine in Mountain Pass, California. It's sitting out in a desert not far from Las Vegas. I've spoken to the local official at the local county. It's San Bernardino County. He has said, yes, production is dirty, but we think we can build a mine that is environmentally sound there because they had one previously. We'd like to see that mine reopened.
Yeah. So it's dirty. It's, I guess it's energy intensive, but it can be brought up to date so that it's a responsible member of the community, I guess. Right?
Yeah. I mean, the issue is that a company named Molycorp invested $1 billion in the Mountain Pass mine. And then when the prices fell, it found it couldn't make money and it went into bankruptcy. So, you know, when you have a product like rare earth minerals where China dominates the market and wants to continue dominating it, the prices may be too low for an American company that is on the stock market and has to show a certain rate of return to investors to invest and make money. Well, we think there's a national security issue here. And because, as you say, the quantities are pretty small, it's not like a massive investment the government would have to make. And the government does this all the time for defense contractors. It says to defense contractors, look, you can count on the U.S. government, on the Pentagon, to be buying X million dollars of this product for the next 10 years. And we think that sort of arrangement with either the company that purchased, an American company that purchases that mine, or the customers of the companies that, of the company that purchases that mine, would make that mine viable. And we think that the U.S. needs an alternative to the Chinese supplier.
Yeah, well,
so that's our recommendation. That makes sense?
It makes a lot of sense. We're not talking about a lot of money here either, are we?
No, we're not talking about a lot of money. I can't quote you specific numbers. I mean, what I can tell you is I know that last year the U.S. imported $120 million worth of rare earth minerals. So, you know, we ought to move towards replacing some or all of that import with domestic production. I know the fellow in the county said there were around 500 jobs at that mine before it went into bankruptcy. You know, that would be an excellent thing for mine workers to move to Mountain Pass. And, you know, that's a well-paid job, and it ought to be, because frankly, you're living in the middle of the Mojave Desert. We should pay those people well for living there and working in hot, sweaty conditions. But it helps the local economy. And, you know, it helps good paying jobs for people with those kinds of skills, mine worker skills.
Yeah, it's an interesting conundrum. What do you think Trump's going to do? I mean, it's got to come from him or his Commerce Secretary, Wilbur Ross.
Yeah, I think yes. I think you're absolutely right. It's got to come from the administration. You know, I don't think the sums of money are large enough that this needs to be on the desk inside the White House. I think, I could see senior officials at Commerce and Defense having a discussion and saying, look, this is important. We know Wilbur Ross. We like him. We think he understands all the complex pressures on the U.S. economy, and that the U.S. economy needs to pay attention to its trade deficit and to opportunities for skilled workers and to national security. So I have no inside information to be able to tell you what I think is going to happen, but I think there's a good chance. One other, when you ask about the politics of it, I also should mention CFIUS. That's the Committee for Foreign Investment in the United States.
Right. Yeah.
My understanding, although it hasn't been confirmed, is that the Chinese consortium that won the auction in the bankruptcy court needs approval from CFIUS. Now, CFIUS includes officials not just from Commerce and Defense, but also from the Treasury. So I think there's a good chance that CFIUS will sit down, look at this deal, and say, is there an alternative? And the alternative is a perfectly good consortium led by Americans, actually including an Australian mining company that has rare earth experience. And I think that's an excellent consortium. consortium, much better for national security. And I wouldn't be surprised to see that federal agency overruling the bankruptcy court and directing the bankruptcy court to change its decision.
And they have the power to do that, correct?
Yes, CFIUS has the power to intervene where it feels a foreign investment is not in the interests of U.S. national security.
Any possibility of alienating the Chinese on this? We're trying to get them to go and, you know, stand aside the U.S. and North Korea. Is this a consideration?
You know, it's a consideration, but I think my personal view, and in fact, the view of our organization, is we, including the Obama administration and the Trump administration in its first several months, have been very concerned with how China feels about foreign policy issues. And it's time that we gave more priority to economic policy issues, including this mine. So I think, you know, and I think in the larger scheme of things, this is pretty small potatoes. I mean, obviously, North Korea is important. Obviously, our $347 billion bilateral trade deficit with China is very important.
Yeah.
One little rare earth mine is a minor issue. And I think this government will do the right thing.
Oh, I hope you're right. And yeah, I mean, it's very minuscule in terms of international trade, but everything, magnets, I mean, everything has got these rare earth metals in them in this day and age here, right, Jeff? I mean, literally every, you mentioned smartphones, but computers, TVs, anything that's got a magnet in it nowadays has got one of these rare earth metals in it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, I mean, you know, people, I think people, I read in the newspapers, people talk about supply chains and they say, oh, isn't it great? Our supply chain is international. It means we've got the best we can get from any country in the world. And they, and I've worked inside a very large manufacturing company. It was Nortel Networks, if you remember Nortel.
Oh,
they're not around
Canadian
anymore.
Company.
But,
yeah.
You know, they built some of the networks that that support the internet. And I knew the senior VP of manufacturing well. And building an international supply chain, like I said, that has multiple sources so you can sleep at night is a very complex endeavor. And, you know, we need to take an adult approach to that. You know, we live in a globalized world. The U.S. is very far from self-sufficient. And so we need to be cognizant of that fact. And in the case of rare earth minerals, that tells me very clearly we need at least two sources of supply. And we don't have that today.
For sure. For sure. Hey, you know, one thing I came to realize, I was watching a show. Well, it's changed now, but it's called Top Gear. And or no, it was actually Wheeler Dealers. And the guy comes to the U.S., buys beat up classic cars, and they had opened a shop here eventually. But before that, they actually would ship them back to their shop in the U.K. And what he said was really fascinating. He said, you know, when I go to the States, because it's so big there, because there are so many people there, they are experts at logistics, getting things from one end of the country to the other. And, you know, that kind of like really kind of rang true to me there, because you think about it, that's one of the things that we were like masters at one time, right? Was logistics, getting stuff all over the place. And here's a perfect example of we don't need to ship it from there. We can just produce it here. So,
yes. I mean, all the logistics in the world won't help you if one person or one company or one country has a monopoly on supply and changes its policy overnight. You know, and we've you know, this isn't just rare earths. We've seen this with people trying to corner the market in aluminum or silver or other metals. And, you know, there it's not cornering the market at the mining level, but more at the inventory level. And we have laws to prevent that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have to always watch out for one person getting a sort of chokehold on the supply of any vital material. And in today's economy, many, many materials are vital.
Oh, for sure. Hey, well, Jeff, people want to find out more about you, more about your organization, which is Coalition for a Prosperous America. Where do you go?
Yes, we have a website, which is prosperousamerica.org, and I encourage people to go there and read our content. I'm the research director. We are enlarging our content, publishing new articles by the week, if not by the day. And what we are is an organization which includes manufacturers, labor unions, and agricultural groups, and we're all unite and individuals, and individuals are welcome to join, and we're all united on one cause, which is improving America's trade balance in order to restore American industry here at home domestically. Well, and that's what we fight for day and night.
That is a noble pursuit. We thank you for being part of the fight, Jeff. And hey, if you got any questions for Jeff, myself, or any other guest you hear on the show, just send me an email, kl@carrielutz.com. By the way, Twitter feed @CarrieLutz, Facebook page, Financial Survival Network, where we've got a lot of offbeat economic news and just curiosities, things that kind of highlight the absurdity of the world in which we live today. Jeff, thanks so much for coming on again. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Great. Thanks for the opportunity, Kerry. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.